1 Samuel chapter 9. And this chapter is right before Saul gets anointed as a captain. Chapter 10 and verse 1, Saul is anointed as captain over the Lord's inheritance. And so in verse 27, actually, excuse me, let's go to verse 25. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, "Up, that I may send thee away." And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us." And he passed on. "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of the Lord." Father, we thank you for this night, and thank you for the opportunity to stand here before these people, Lord. And I pray that you would use this message, Lord, and I pray that you would impress upon these people's hearts more so than it is now, Lord, the importance of your word and what it should mean to us, and a couple of things that it should do to us, Lord. And I pray that you could use this message, and I pray that you would wash this place in your blood, Lord, and I pray that you would chase away any unclean spirits that are here, Father. And I do pray that you would please put a guard about my mouth, Lord, that I would not say anything that would go contrary to your word, Lord, or that would be offensive to your word. And I pray that you would help me, Lord. I pray that this would make sense. Came together a little bit rough. And so I pray that you would bless it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so it says in verse 27, "And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, 'Bid the servant pass on before us, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of the Lord.'" And I'd like to preach on that for a little bit tonight, or attempt to at least. And given a little bit of introduction to the book of Samuel and the way it starts, Brother Dave a couple weeks ago preached on Hannah and bitterness. And in chapter 1, you have, of course, it's the first book after Ruth, but you have Judges, Ruth, and 1 and 2 Samuel. And of course, in that time, you have the Lord who has set up judges to judge his people. And so they go through all these judges, and Eli is one of the last judges that that Israel has, and it doesn't look too good for him. When at the start of the book, you have some issues with his family. He's got some sons that are wicked, but Eli is the priest actually, but he's also a judge over Israel. And so in verse 11 of chapter 1, it says that Hannah, she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt need look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto me, or wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And so the book starts out with Hannah giving a vow. She is unable to have children, and most of all, she wants a son that she can give back to the Lord. And so she vows a vow, and in chapter 2, verse 12, it says, Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And I would kind of like you to remember that specific part. It says that they knew not the Lord. Being a priest, that was their job. Being a priest, they should have some things memorized from the Word of God, and they should have certain ways that they do a sacrifice, or what they do with the sacrifice, and what the customs were of the priest. And the Bible says that they knew not the Lord. And so the Lord begins to warn Eli of his sons and of his family. And in verse 27 it says, "And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house. And did I choose him out of the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in mine habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me will I honor, and them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And before this, I forgot to mention this, but in verse 18, it says that Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. So Samuel kind of comes into the middle of this and has to, I don't know if maybe he doesn't know what's going on. My guess would be he does if he's going to be ministering to the Lord, and he's going to be ministering to Eli. And so the Lord continues to warn Eli. I'm going to shoot back to that. In verse 31 it says, behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall both die. And so the Lord gives a very stern warning to Eli and tells him basically that he's going to kill his kids. And of course, you guys know how that happens, and maybe we'll go into that later. But the Lord warns him, and then he gives a promise, though. And he says in verse 35, it says, and I will raise up a faithful priest. And that's what the Lord is after. He's after a faithful priest, a man that will stand against a people, that will go against whatever is being lived in that day. And so he says that he wants a faithful priest. And so he promises Eli, he says, listen, I'm going to get a faithful priest. I'm going to raise him up. It says in the rest of the verse, that shall do according to that which is in mine heart. And you can see the Lord is really stabbing him, because he says in verse 29, he says that he honored his sons over God. And now he's saying, he goes, I want a faithful priest, meaning you're not faithful to me. And he says, that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind, which you're not doing. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And you know what? That's all the Lord wanted. He just wanted a faithful priest. And it's kind of ironic, because you know what? There's not a whole lot that's changed. The Lord still wants a faithful priest, and he still wants somebody to be faithful to him. If you look in chapter 3, verse 3, look what it says. It says, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. So, the temple is in despair. I mean, those priests were said that you're not supposed to let that light go out. And it's gotten to the point now, verse 2 it says, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in this place, his eyes began to wax dim, and that he could not see. And I understand that there's age that goes into that, but if you do a little bit of a stretch and apply it spiritually, Eli can't see. He's not in the will of God. His sons are most definitely not in the will of God. And it says that the lamp of God went out in the temple. And all the Lord wanted was just a priest that would do his job and that would love the Lord. And if you will go to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 5, it says this, it says, ye also as lively stones are built up, a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In verse 9 it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you know, really all that the Lord wants is he just wants a faithful priest. And not much has changed. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I know this is not new to a lot of people here, but the Lord just wants a faithful priest, and today He still requires that of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And so all that the Lord wants is He wants a faithful priest. And of course, faithfulness these days, it seems like all the modern churches out there, and some of the churches that were founded on, or not founded, but that did some, I guess, decent preaching, if you want to say it that way, have now fallen away. They're reneging on doctrine. They are trying to go against the Word of God. And the Lord just says, "I just want a priest that'll be faithful." And so, finally, He gets it. And in verse 3, or chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, sorry, I didn't tell you guys to go back there, but I'm going to keep going on this. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." And He wanted a priest that was faithful to His work. And in verse 18, it says, "And Samuel told every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good." And look what it says in verse 19. It says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." He wanted a priest that was not just faithful to the work, but he wanted a priest that was faithful to the word. And in verse 21, it says, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." And may I also say that the Lord wants a faithful priest even when there is no revelation. Even when your Bible reading, even when your Christian life is in the dumps per se, what does the Lord require of us? He requires faithfulness. And that's all that the Lord wants. He wants faithfulness. In verse 19 it says, "And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him." And I have no doubt that that's talking physically about him, but if I could apply that spiritually, you can see from that verse that his growth is directly connected to the way that he handles the Word of God. It says, "And he did let none of his words fall to the ground." Boy, if we could just get some churches to go back to that, right? Much less just, excuse me, boy, could we do just Christians to go back to that, right? Just individuals to treat the Word of God that way, where you don't let any of His words fall to the ground. And so I have no doubt that that is speaking of his physical growth, but you can see there with that it's talking about, it's in connection with the way he handles the Word of God. With that, you could also see that the Scripture was important to him. And it seems like these days, even Christians in our circle, it's surprising. You know, you go through the years and you grow up in this, or you've been saved for a while, and it is surprising how many Christians don't read their Bible. It's shocking. I mean, I'm not a 30-page guy a day or anything like that, but goodness gracious, I try to read the Bible. And it's amazing where people, they just don't read the Bible anymore. And, you know, something is said about the Bible, and they're like, "Where's that at?" You know, it's just like, are you serious? No, we're not talking about like some young Christian. We're talking about somebody that's been in church for a while, and it's just like, I mean, you don't even recognize it as being Bible? And that's the problem these days. So you can see how the Scripture was important to him. And I don't know, maybe I could just throw out there that maybe that's a little bit of a hint as to why your growth has slowed. Maybe that's why. Maybe you don't handle the Word of God as importantly as you should. But then something changed for Samuel. Something that was extraordinary. It was, I have no doubt that it probably changed his life. It probably changed his whole ministry and his whole outlook. And in verse 21, look what it says. "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." And I think that's an amazing thing, because first of all, we can see that the Lord does what? He reveals through Scripture, right? That's how the Lord reveals himself to us. I understand that we're in the Old Testament. I understand that there's differences in the Old Testament and all that goes on. I understand the different dispensations, but we can apply that to us. And we can definitely say now, the Lord doesn't reveal through dreams, right? Through whatever else you want to say. The Lord reveals Himself to us by the Scripture. And in verse 7 it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. I think that's kind of amazing because Samuel, it says, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him, but yet he still read. It says that he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He did what he was supposed to do without a revelation. And, you know, sometimes you can hear a guy preach and something is thrown out there about the guy that prayed for this many hours, right? You have the guy that put, you know, knee prints on the oak floor, you know, because he was praying so much, you know. And that's great and that's fine, but, you know, we read those books and we hear about those stories and all we're hearing is the high points, you know. It's like, man, this is awesome. Like, let's go, you know. But that's not how it is a lot of times, right? To me, a lot of the times it seems like it's just kind of a dry time. And there's not a lot going on. But Samuel, I would say, was faithful even through that. And by him, in verse 19, not letting any of the words fall to the ground, I think maybe that's why the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel through the Scripture. And I don't know if maybe you have had the Lord reveal Himself to you through Scripture as you're just trying to find an answer or you need some help with something and the Lord just reveals Himself. Brother Todd's lesson this morning, I think, was excellent with that. I mean, he talked about Psalm 119 and all that, and I came in kind of late, but he talked about how David wrote that chapter and he was being always driven back to the Lord. And that thing always pointed back to the Lord, back to the Word of God. And so I would like to say that Samuel had the Lord revealed to him. Had the Lord revealed to him through His Word. I'm going to move on. If you guys want to go back to our text in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 27, it says, and as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the Word of God. And so I'm sure some years passed on, and all of a sudden Israel goes up to Samuel and they tell Samuel, hey, listen, your sons that you've set up to be judges here, they're wicked. We don't like them. And so they say to him, they say, we want a king. And Israel demands a king. And of course, Samuel at that point goes to the Lord, and I believe he's weeping before the Lord and he's real mad at Israel. And the Lord says, don't worry about it. He goes, they didn't reject you. They rejected me. And so he says, give him a king. And so the Lord picks Saul, and of course you guys know Saul was out looking for his father's asses, and they weren't able to find them, so they went to Samuel, excuse me, and as they were going there, the Lord told Samuel before he got there that this guy's going to come, and I need you to tell him this, and I'm going to need you to tell him that I'm going to anoint you, and you're going to be the captain of the host of Israel. And so that happens, and so I would like to preach just for a couple minutes on what Samuel tried to do for Saul. And I don't know, it's not going as well as I thought it would, but this verse kind of intrigues me. He says, but stand thou still that I may show thee the Word of God. And I would like to show what Samuel tried to do for Saul. So I'm just going to point a couple things out, and we'll go from there. So first of all, I would like to say that Samuel tried to impress upon Saul the importance of the Word of God. And that can't be, I think that can't be stressed enough these days, right? After all that Samuel had, after all that the Lord did for Samuel, I mean, just the fact that God revealed Himself to Samuel is an amazing thing. And he had that experience. And you know what he tried to do? Samuel knew what the importance of that. And the first thing he tried to do, before he even anointed him, he says, I need you to sit down and shut up, and I got to show you something. And you know, it reminds me really of what we have here. I mean, we have somebody that comes and they don't say it in those words, but what do they say? They say, "Listen to the Word of God," and that's what we have here. And you know, that's an amazing king for these days. People, they don't do that anymore. We hear it all the time, you know, about the corrections that they make. They do this, they do that, and it's just like, you know, you just want a guy that'll just give it to you straight. And that's what we have here. That's what we have here. He says that I may show thee the word of God. I would like to say that maybe... Sorry, I'm trying to read my notes. I would say that you know, maybe Samuel tried to reveal to Saul what he got when the Lord revealed to him. It was how Samuel knew God. Samuel knew God through these scriptures, and that's how. If you're going to want to get to know God at all, how are you going to get to know Him? You're going to get to know Him by coming here and sitting down and having the scriptures open to you, and then on top of that, it's going to be you going home and reading the scriptures. And that's the only way that God is going to be revealed to you. I can just, as I go through this and study it, you know, you can just see how bad Samuel wanted Saul to know the Lord. It was just, what Samuel got when the Lord revealed Himself to him, he knew that king needs God. And that's what he needs. After starting looking at Saul's life, I kind of wondered, you know, I wonder, how serious did Saul take that? And it was an amazing thing to me. I'm going through the Kings in Sunday school class right now, and I started going through Saul, and I always heard how Saul was a type of the Antichrist and wasn't a good king, and he wasn't, and he was a type of the Antichrist. But it was an amazing thing to me, because you know what? The Lord gave him chance, and He gave the people a chance even after they chose a king. He told them, I wonder if I can find it, in chapter 12, verse 13 says, "Now, therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continually following the Lord your God." So the Lord still gives Israel a chance. Saul still could have turned out to be a good king. He didn't have to go the way he went. And of course, he made decisions, and I think that decision was based on what, not based on, but it started when Samuel tried to show him the Word of God. And he tried to put it out there, and he says, "But stand thou still, that I may show thee the Word of God." And I just don't think that Saul really took it very seriously. You look at Saul's life and some of the mistakes that he made, and of course, you guys know the mistakes that he made, and we'll go through those, but... I don't really think he handled the word of the Lord very seriously at all. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 13. In verse 8, you have Saul, he's in Gilgal, and it says, "And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from before him. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering, and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because that the people were scattered before me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together in Michmash, therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And it doesn't really sound like a bad thing, but you look through the tabernacle setup, and the Lord had an order for everything. And your average guy was not supposed to walk in there, and he was not supposed to make a sacrifice. And so Saul intrudes into the priestly office of the Levitical priesthood. And because of that... we're going to see here, it says in verse 15, "And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which He commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Why do I say that Saul didn't really handle it all that well? I mean, I don't know, maybe when Samuel was going through that Bible study with him, maybe he was all into it. Maybe he loved it. I don't know. You know, I can read into it and say that maybe maybe he was like a lot of Christians these days, they're in the moment, like, oh, this is awesome, you know, and then they get back doing their own thing, and it's just like, yeah, it was cool at the time, but, I could read that into it, and maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But it says in verse 13, it says, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God. And so he directly goes against what God said to do. Saul knew what he should have done. I mean, other than that, Samuel just told him, hey, listen, you be here 7 days and I will make the sacrifice. You don't do this. And Samuel did that. And so with that, Samuel accuses him of not keeping the commandment of the Lord, and that was true. And the result of that is a pretty severe thing. God says that he would have, Samuel says that the Lord would have established thy kingdom forever over Israel. And I don't know what that means. That's kind of intriguing to me because I know that the kingly line and Christ comes through Judah, so I know it wouldn't have come through Saul, but the Lord was going to establish his kingdom. And he didn't because of how he treated the Word of God. In chapter 15, you have Saul going in. And in verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. It's kind of interesting that he throws that in there. He says, hey, listen, will you please listen to what God has to say? And so he tells him in verse 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. And so the Lord tells him to go in, I want you to go and smite Amalek, and I want you to kill everything. I don't want anything living. I want you to kill all the animals. I want and especially kill Agag. And so they go in, and the Bible says that Saul went from all the way from Havilah, which is over by the Tigris-Euphrates River near where the Garden of Eden was at, all the way to Shur, that is against Egypt. And so he has a huge space to cover, so no telling how long he was gone. And he went in there and he killed all of the people, but what did he do? He spared Agag, the king, probably one of the most important guys to kill. And in verse 13, it says, and Samuel came to Saul and said unto him, blessed be thou, the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice the Lord thy God. Kind of weird that he said it's the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee to be king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? The second time. He says, I have you to do something. He goes, now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the Lord. He says, will you just please listen to what the Lord has to say? And he does it. And what happens? Look at verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Verse 26, it says, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He rejected the word of God. Samuel sits down before he anoints him as captain, and he says, hey, listen, I got to show you some stuff. And he breaks out probably one of the best Bible studies that you could ever been, right? You have Jesus Christ and what he's walking on the road to Emmaus, right? I think of that, where the Lord shows them through the Scriptures and those two men on Emmaus, and he shows them who he is, and then he breaks the bread and he disappears, right? It's probably one of the best Bible studies. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if he just didn't hallow the words of God, if you want to say it that way, or what it was, but the Bible says that he rejected the word of the Lord. And because of that, the Bible says that God rent the kingdom from his hand. Again, that's how seriously God looks at his word. And, you know, you think you can just go through your walk with the Lord and you can just kind of do whatever you want. I'm not going to say that the Lord is going to rip anything out of your hands. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. I know that Paul said, I beseech you by what? The mercies of God, right? Paul ran into a merciful God. So I'm not saying that the Lord's going to do that to you. But maybe you should consider before you just break the word of the Lord and you don't obey what you know that you should do, the revealed wills of God for your life, don't be surprised if something happens. I mean, really? Like, God can't say something and you just break it and He can't do anything? You need to pay attention to what the Lord has for you. It says that he rejected the word of the Lord. And then you guys know the last thing that Saul did in chapter 28. It says in verse 6, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. And so Saul now is trying to get through, and Samuel is dead, so he doesn't have a prophet to go to. And the Lord has rejected him. He's rent the kingdom from his hands. And it's finally come down to this, where Saul is not getting any kind of answer from the Lord. And in verse 7 it says, then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And so Saul goes and he inquires after her. And in verse 25, verse 12, I don't know where 25 came from. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God descending out of the earth. Verse 15, it says, and Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me. And he answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thy hand and given it to a neighbor of thine, even to David, because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord. And the Lord tells him again by Samuel, he says, the kingdom is rent from you and I've rejected you. And it was because of the way he treated the word of God. So I look back on Saul's life, and you know what? It doesn't really seem like Saul took that Bible study all that seriously. You know, maybe when you come in on Sunday nights, or not Sunday nights, on Wednesday nights, and you get a Bible study, maybe you should pay attention. Maybe you should take it seriously the way the Lord looks at things. And again, through that, through the Scripture, you can grow. If you will, go to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse 2, it says, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and does what? And trembleth at my word. Do you tremble at the word of the Lord? Do you feel like you aren't getting to know the Lord any more than you do now? I don't like that feeling. I definitely feel that sometimes. I feel that a lot. And maybe it means I'm making the mistake that Saul made and just not handling the word of the Lord. Maybe my personality leans a little bit too much towards Saul. Maybe in the moment all is exciting to me. Maybe in the moment all is great to you and you have all of these things that you think are cool and learning the deep doctrine of the Bible. But then when it's on your own time, it's like, I have better things to do. And so maybe you're making the mistake that Saul did. Maybe you're not spending enough time in the book. And I don't know. If that's the case, I I think you should get down on your face and ask the Lord to forgive you. And you know what you need to do? Stand still. And you know what you need to do? You need to get in the Word of God so that the Lord can show you some things, so He can reveal Himself to you. It's the only way to know God is through the Scripture. It says that even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit. And I thought about it, and I really enjoyed Brother Todd's message this morning. Got a lot of stuff out of it. And you know, I started thinking about all the stuff that he was saying. You know, I started thinking, you know what? Maybe that was the difference between Saul and David. Saul had every chance that David had. And, you know, maybe the Lord just didn't see fit to put it in the Bible and allow us to know it or not. And maybe he didn't. But you know what? David never got a Bible study from Saul. The Lord took Saul, sat him down, and what? Tried to show him something. And David never got that. But you look at David and you can see everything that Saul was supposed to be. And so with that, if we could, go back to our text in 1 Samuel chapter 9. First Samuel chapter 9, verse 27, "And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, 'Bid the servant pass on before us, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God.'" And I would like to say another thing that I'm sure Samuel tried to do when he was going to anoint Saul. I want to say that he tried to establish Saul in the word of God. And that is probably one of the most important things you can do in your Christian life, is get established in the word of God. For obvious reasons that I've already repeated, and I'll repeat it once more, and I probably will again after this, but it's the way that you can know God. The Apostle Paul said, "That I may know Him." He says that I may know Him. And the Lord had some revelation to give Paul. And I thought of the one, and Brother Dave mentioned it quite a bit this morning, but he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." And I think of how God revealed Himself to Paul as a merciful God. And I think about other revelations that other men had. And you think of Isaiah when he said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." And he got a revelation of who God was. And you won't get that revelation if you're not in your Bible. You won't get that revelation if you're not in church. I mean, this is not just a beat the drums to come to church type of thing, but seriously, first of all, you don't read your Bible as much as you should, nor do I. So, I mean, you should be here, and you'll grow, but it's the only way you'll know God. And I think that Samuel knew that if Saul got in the Word of God, if he could have revealed the Lord to Saul, for lack of a better word, I think he knew that Saul would have been hooked. And I say that, and I look at David, and it's just like, that's exactly what should have happened. I mean, we should have had two Psalms, one by Saul and one by David. I mean, we should have had two Psalm 119. Brother Jensen, the longest chapter in the Bible is about the Word of God. I wrote that down, and I have your name right there. That's what he said this morning. And you know what? That's true. The longest chapter in the Bible, and what does it do? It points to the Word of God all the time. We will in a minute. We'll go to Psalm 19, but we won't go there yet. So anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. But I do. I think that if Samuel knew that, if I could just get this guy to see, if I could just get him to see the Lord and just reveal Him through Scripture, I think he'll be a good king. And the Lord gave him that chance. Go to Romans chapter 16. You will not be established in your faith. You will be, your faith will be rattled if you're not established. And it is an extremely important thing for you to do. Maybe you don't quite know what you have in this book that's in your lap. Maybe you don't realize that this thing framed the world. Maybe you don't understand that. But if I could impress you even tonight, I mean, It's been rough going through this. But man, if I could just get you to see the importance of the Word of God and what it means and what it should mean to you. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "Now to him that is of power..." Actually, let me read verse 24. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." It says that that you will be established according to my gospel. You need to be established in the gospel. If you will, go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. You won't be able to stand very long if you are not established in the Word of God. You know, you have the sower, you have the seed, right? And what happens? One has the seed is planted, but then it's what? It doesn't have any depth, so it just dies out. And it's a good type of a Christian where they get in church and it's just all gung-ho at first. And then what happens? Other things happen, right? And so then they fall out and the seed dies. No, you don't lose your salvation, but you're not established. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and let's look in verse 13. "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." You want to be established when Jesus Christ comes back? This is how you do it. You should be in this word to do that. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 15, it says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work." I mean, the only way for you to be established, the only way for you to know God is to be in this word. And I think that Samuel knew that, and so I think that he tried to get Saul to see that. One last verse, let's go to on this matter, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's look at verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." You're supposed to be settled. You're supposed to be established in the Word of God. And if you're a new Christian, or if you're a Christian that hasn't done right for some time, or even if you're an old Christian, what do you need to do? You need to get established in the Word of God. You need to grow, and you will be strengthened by the Word of God. That's the only way. You witness to a person. I know Brother Caribou, I believe, has a family member where they saw a vision, correct? Just say yes. Thank you. It was somebody I know. And what does that do? What does that do? Oh, well, you know, now I know God, right? And it's like, no, you don't. You don't know God. No angel would come to you, especially an angel of God, right? And that's what happens when people don't get established in the Word. They're tossed about by every wind and wave of doctrine. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I already said it, but I'll say it again. David was everything that Saul was supposed to be. David was everything that Saul wasn't. And you look at Saul or Samuel as he goes through his life, and he gets to anoint two kings, two of the most important kings in the Bible. And he got to see the extreme of things. He got to see the extreme of what? Of a guy that doesn't treat the word of the Lord the way it should be treated. And then on the other hand, he got to see a guy that made some worse mistakes in some ways than this king did. But what did this king do? He obeyed the word of the Lord. He was established in the word of the Lord. Look at verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Man, David was consumed with the word of God. David was always being driven back to the word of God, even, may I add, after he committed adultery and killed a man's wife, or killed a woman's husband. Even after that. I mean, the God of all mercies, right? I mean, David should have died. He should have. And in the law, he should have. But the Lord said, I put away your sin. And you know what? David was somebody that was established by the word of God. I look at David and I look at Saul. And I look at Saul and it's just like, man, what happened? And you know, you go through the Bible and you expect to find some like egregious thing. You know, he set up temples to Baal and then he did that and he did. And it's like, no, it's not that. It's much simpler than that. He just rejected the word of the Lord. And everything that Saul was supposed to be, the Lord gets to show it to us through David. And I think that's an amazing thing. You look in verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I'm going through Psalm 119, and you know what? I don't have any of these notes written down. I'm just reading verses. Let the mercies come also unto me in verse 41, O Lord, even thy salvation according to what? Thy word. Verse 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproached me, for I trust in what? Thy word. Thou hast dealt with thy servant in verse 65, O Lord, according to what? Thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. David was established in the word. And that's what you need to be. You need to be established in the word. And so I think that those are the fundamental differences between David and Saul. One decided to kind of do his own thing and not treat the word of God with respect, and the other did the exact opposite. And he still made mistakes, which is comforting me. And that's what he did. So what does Saul get told by Samuel? It says, and as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid thy servant pass on before us, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of the Lord. And maybe this will either encourage you to go on, or maybe it will make you reconsider your personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how important it is and what you should work on. And you need to get to know God not just because of this church, but you need to get to know God through your personal relationship. And I believe that's what Samuel had. Father, we thank you for this night, and I just pray that you would use this